Welcome to The Underground, my little underground with Peter A.
All right, my little underground, welcoming back Artisan P and Buster Wolf from Citronella Room, aka Don't Tell a Soul. Glad to have you back.
Yo, thanks for having us. Do we get a jacket if we appear on the show X amount of times or?
Yeah. I'm working on that. That's 2025 goals. But you guys have had a busy like Q4 2023, and now you're kicking off strong in 2024 with Buster Wolf. But I wanted to talk about Don't Tell a Soul first, because I have been obsessed with this EP. It just really resonated with me. So give me some of the, you know, peel back the curtain a little bit. So how long did this take for this project to come to fruition?
I guess it took we've been talking about it for a long time, basically, and so it's been conceptualized for a while, but as far as like really creating it and getting the songs together, that didn't take that long. I feel like once we kind of linked up, we recorded a song with some verses that we had, and a beat sounded dope, and then we kind of just came up with a couple more tracks. And I think it got together pretty quickly, relatively, I think.
Says him. I would say this shit was years in the making.
How long are we talking?
Well, when we first collaborated, which was like 2015 or 2016, something like that, we had already, like, that's when the seed was planted. And, you know, we had been on each other's records before and done other collabs. We was running with this crew called Fuzzy Nickels. We did a lot of collaborations with them, collaborations with DJ Proof. So, like, the seeds of it, I think, were planted much longer ago. But it took a long time for us to finally sit down and do it. But when we sat down and did it, it got knocked out relatively quickly. I would say, like, a couple weeks, something like that.
Oh yeah, and then we did the remixes shortly after, which came about super quick too. But yeah, no, that's true. We have been working for a minute, and honestly, I think between all of our collaborations in the past, we already have enough, like, an album's worth of shit. You know what I mean? So anytime we played a show, people were always saying, like, yo, we really like you guys together. You guys sound so dope. So we've been rocking shows together for years, you know. Yeah. So I guess we've always been Don't Tell a Soul, but just didn't know it. And then this kind of made it official, you know?
Yeah. You guys sound really good together. Like a great tag team. You know, it's great. Like when me and my brother do our wrestling podcast and I listen back to the shows, I'm like, whoa, it sounds like we've been doing this for a while. You know, good chemistry is good chemistry, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun to rap together too. Like, I actually like enjoy, like, it's just fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When we were coming up, like, there was more rap groups, you know what I'm saying? Like, now everybody's solo. Like, we grew up with a lot of groups, and you know, there was a lot of like teams that like worked off each other's energy really well. It was dope seeing them on stage together and stuff. And like, even though we were mostly putting out solo material, we would often play shows together. And we would just go back and forth because we had those songs that we had together. And it was like, one, it gave us a break each. You know what I'm saying? You only have to have half the energy when you have another person there. And you could split that up evenly. But yeah, like, the energy was totally different. It harkened back to kind of like, you know, back when it was a crew, at least a couple rappers in a group or whatever. And because, like, I really enjoyed a lot of the stuff I came up listening to was like a group or a duo or something like that. And they, like, you know, it would keep it fresh. It would keep it, you know, personally for me, like, it's hard to even, you know, I get tired of listening to the same person over the course of a whole record sometimes. So if it's like multiple people on there, it just makes it all the more listenable to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Are these songs at least on the first EP unique to Don't Tell a Soul, or were they, what, this was an unfinished Artisan P song, or this was an unfinished Buster Wolf song?
I would say only one song, because the first song that we recorded together officially, it was a brand new beat, but I used a verse that I'd written a while ago that I just couldn't find a place for. Or it was one of those verses that, like, sometimes I'll write a verse that's so good that I can't write a follow-up. So I just had this verse laying around forever.
But he made it, but like the whole while he intended for me to do a verse on it too.
True,
So
yeah.
it wasn't, yeah, I would say all the four songs on there were meant to be Don't Tell a Soul songs from jump. Like one of them, he started before we officially got together and started doing it. But I mean, that's all it was he had a verse on a beat that nobody had used yet. And then I did my thing. And then like the other three came together kind of after that. Like in a short period, like we just went through some beats that we both had. We always have a lot of beats from DJ Proof to go through. So those of course made it on there. So yeah, I would say all four of them were pretty much meant to be Don't Tell a Soul tracks.
Got
Which is funny because Proof has so many beats. One of the beats we were going to use, someone else already used it, which would be Legend. And then so he cooked up a beat real quick
Yes,
that what
yeah.
you hear now. So that's like the second version of it.
Right. The remix
So
is like the third version of
yeah,
it.
so it's got three.
Yeah.
Shit, it's funny.
Legend is like one of my favorite songs on that thing. Like those horns. Bah, 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 that, oh my God, it's an earworm.
Yo, thank
Incredible.
you.
It's so
Yeah,
good.
it's weird. I think because I think I heard the originals so much that I got ear fatigue that I think I appreciate the remixes more because they just sound newer to me than the originals. But yeah, I go back and forth sometimes between them. But yeah, I'm glad you appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. So, do you guys approach making Don't Tell a Soul tunes differently than your own projects? Like, is there a different energy you come with, different types of flows you're coming with, different types of beats you prefer to rhyme on when you're coming together?
I would say so because mostly because Louis is such a dope rapper that like I gotta make sure I come correct too. So in a way, it definitely I approach it differently because I feel like it's like a fun like exercise. It's like, you know, you're rapping with your friend who's like super talented, so you wanna make sure you're kinda like carrying that same energy with your own style, which I think is also interesting because we are similar but different. So I feel like working with him brings out like a different, like I use like a whole different, like I think of it differently, you know?
Yeah. I definitely feel it when I'm listening. I'm like, okay, this is a different type of energy. It's almost like you guys are recording when you're fresh out of the gym or
Yeah,
something. You're letting all that energy out. I love it.
that is the gym. Yeah.
But I do think, yeah, I definitely think of like Don't Tell a Soul, where if I write something, I'm like, oh, that would be a Don't Tell a Soul verse or for a song or a beat that I hear because yeah, I like to think Don't Tell a Soul is a little bit different from my solo stuff personally. I mean, but it's cool though. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely feel more of a sense of like basically like what he was saying, which is like you really just want to bring your A game when you're working with somebody, you know what I'm saying? And they encourage you to do that. But as far as like writing differently or anything like that, this project as a group project is the only kind of collaborative thing that I've ever done with anybody where I felt like I could just be myself and kind of like not need to like pander to the group or anything or like change lyrics or anything like that or for anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like I still feel like I could still be Buster Wolf on these tracks even though I'm in the group with my brother or whatever, but like I never feel the need to like separate, all right, these are Buster Wolf lyrics, these are Don't Tell Soul lyrics. Like I feel welcome enough in this group and in this project to like be as personal as I would be on my own solo project. So the beats, I would say I'm a little more, when I do my own stuff, I like doing my own production and beats because there's a certain like mood I try to go for. But like, I would say I would be more open to use different types of beats with this project and have a little more like fun with my production as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, definitely try to think of it in ways that we will both sound dope on it. You know, the two beats I used for the remixes were old beats that I could just never really hear my voice on a solo project, but they work so well, I think, with both of us bouncing off each other. So that's one example.
That's kind of crazy how you guys like A&R yourselves when it comes to your projects, and whatever your thought process is, it just ends up working. The end result is always like, okay, yep, that's it. That makes sense. But let me ask you guys a silly question, right? So I was watching the Stones Throw documentary again, right? And
So good with my final
right.
wave son.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, so good,
And
man.
when Madlib was talking about making the Quasimodo albums, he was saying, that's all mushrooms. It's all
Oh
mushrooms.
God, yeah.
So when it comes to Don't
So
Tell a
great.
Soul and Citronella Room projects, is there a certain type of weed you smoke when you're making certain projects, or what? Tell me.
Yeah, there's a certain kind we smoke. It's called a lot.
Mostly whatever's available, but there's a lot of variety. So I guess honestly, it kind of depends. I don't know how much thought we put into it. It's usually what we already have, where we're like, yo, I got. Okay, so how about this? It's funny because there'll be strains that he has that I don't, and some that vice versa. So
Right.
he'll come through and be like, oh, I got this. I'm like, oh shit, I haven't tried that yet. And we'll kind of
Yeah.
mix and match a little bit. But yeah, where we record at, we got like a little patio where we kind of like in between, take little breaks, go sit outside, smoke, or start the day like that with some like coffee.
Yeah, the essentials.
Yeah,
Exactly.
but the
That's the name
things
of the
that
album. The album is called The Essentials.
Essentials, it
Oh,
was
there you go.
the combination of things that pull your brain in completely different fucking directions. But like,
That's a
you
bar.
know what I'm saying? But like, we'll be, since it's, we're both indulging, like we'll be on the same page. And it's funny because like our excitement levels are like always like on the same page. You know what I'm saying? Like you really get to geek out with somebody.
Yeah,
It's like that.
cause like we spent half the time like, just talking about music, talk about records, got the records, so we'll whatever, talk about that shit. And then just us even just like writing songs together is also just really funny because it's just like us saying like gibberish and like just going back and forth, but
But
like
we'll come up with like good hooks and shit that way, just fucking
yeah,
around.
yeah.
We wrote an unreleased Cage song last time. I wish we re-recorded it. It was called like Banging in a Mausoleum or some
Yeah,
shit like
something about a mausoleum, and we just like freestyled the whole Cage song basically that we just made up, but that shit was
with shit had
ridiculous.
a chorus and everything.
Oh
Yeah.
my goodness. Is
We
there
should
is do you
record
guys have
it.
an LP in the works? Because I know you said you had like an album's worth of material.
I guess not officially, but I mean, I'm thinking
There's,
about it,
yeah, I mean, like,
I got my mind on it.
yeah, I don't know. Between us, we have like a lot of unused beats and stuff, so that always makes it easy to like have something on the back burner. That's not necessarily titled yet, or even like has an idea for how it wants to be released. But unreleased tracks, like demos of shit, yeah, we have. That could always come together. And I mean, it's really easy. Like, once we sit down and get together, we knock things out relatively quickly. So, but I don't know if it's an LP. It might be another EP, something like that.
True,
But
true,
I think
yeah.
we're both fans of the short format at this point. But
Same.
yeah, I don't know that it would be an LP. It might be another EP. We'll see. See.
All right, I'm ready for it. So I want to talk about the latest Citronella Room project, Buster Wolf's Bodega Rat. Now, P, I know you were saying Buster Wolf is like crazy, crazy good rapping. And I'm hearing it, listening to this, I'm like, there are so many different flows coming at me with a song that's like a minute and a half. It's
Oh,
crazy. It's crazy. Like, especially, Banana Bread and Calling Out. There are so many different flows coming at me. Like, so Lou, like, is that your was that your mentality? Like, okay, I gotta pack in as much as I possibly can in like a minute and a half.
not no. I tend to make since I, I'm the type of dude that just likes loops, so and I love loops, you know what I'm saying? And four 8-bar loops, I don't really go too crazy with it, but the thing is, I feel like because they're so repetitive, I like to keep them short. And because when I make the beats, they're already short, me like a minute to a minute and a half, and I don't really feel like fucking them with them to stretch them out or anything, I'll just keep the verse as short as the beat is. And I'm like, well, that's it, I got the point across, right? Like, ain't no need to like do this again for a second verse when I could just move on to the next thing. So it's not intentional. I mean, me making the beat short is intentional, but like when I rap over them, I keep the bar or whatever it is, like little 8/16 bars or whatever it is. Like I keep that succinct and just say what I need to say, repeat a couple lines, but really not a lot of hooks or anything like that. But Those things together kind of result in that kind of really short what you're mentioning. But also, like I think I mentioned this to you before, but I think it bears repeating that I think the brevity lends itself to replayability to an extent, at least in my eyes. When something's hella short and sweet, like they immediately want to flip the record and start it over again. You know what I'm saying? So,
Yeah.
you know, I think all that kind of lends itself to why the songs end up being the way they are.
Because when I'm hearing Bodega Rat when it first came out, 13 minutes long, I'm like, okay, that was quick. Let me go back. I think there was a couple ideas I gotta revisit. And I revisited, I'm like, whoa, that was worth going back to.
Oh,
And
true.
yeah, I definitely appreciate that.
You know, because it's so short, it really ain't nothing to start it over either. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have to dedicate a whole another hour to this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah, and I will say too, that no, it is fucking brilliant. It is great. And like you said, with the replayability value of it, as many times as I've heard it, I still catch things that I hadn't really noticed or hadn't thought about or thought of them in the way I did the first time I heard it. So I feel like I'm always kind of catching something new or better understanding the context of like, because like for me, there's a lot of lines that stand out that I think are really good quotables. But then when you listen back to like the context of it a little bit and just, yeah, that, yeah, it's like one of my favorite shits.
Yeah,
So.
it's unbelievable. So one of the first singles on this was Get Me in a Robot. Can you guys elaborate on this idea and this phrase? Because it's repeated a lot.
Yeah, it's funny. I had to explain, you were just saying, like, in the context of him getting more out of it on repeated listens, is because, like, each time we hang out, I explain a different anime or video game reference to him. And then he'd go
Yeah.
back into the record and be like, oh, okay. So, yeah, Get in the Robot, it comes from a meme, a Neon Genesis Evangelion meme, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, Shinji, one of the protagonists or whatever, like he pilots a giant robot or whatever to keep it, you know, simple. It's more in depth than that to anybody who watches Evangelion. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, and but you know, he's always crying in the corner and shit, and like it's just so much of the show is him just crying and complaining about how he doesn't want that responsibility of piloting the Ava or whatever. So you know, there's a meme, it's just like, get in the fucking robot, Shinji. You know what I'm saying? So that hook was, and the enemies on Evangelion, they're called angels. So he's essentially supposed to battle these angels, but he runs from them most of the time. So I was like, I'm running from my angels like I'm Shinji, and it don't stop. It's gonna take more wine and weed to get me in the robot. So it's just a reference to that meme, it's a reference to that anime. It's on Netflix if anybody wanna check it out. It's dope. It's one of the best animes of all time. And the best intro of all time for sure.
What's the name of the anime?
Neon Genesis
Neon
Evangelion.
Genesis.
Yeah,
Wow.
you oh Lordy. Get prepare for a fucking a roller coaster because this shit is like Apex 90s peak fucking anime.
So, Calling Out, another great track on Bodega Rat, has like crazy insane loops, which is classic Push the Wolf, and then a Bike Face Knife Chase has a lot of like weird psychedelic rock kind of stuff. So how did you go about picking samples and finding loops in general? Like, okay, anime, video games, or this certain score, this certain reference here. Like, what was your process production-wise here?
I get really stoned and then I go on YouTube and I search for like 70s Turkish TV commercials. Or yo, I'm giving away like trade industry secret. No, I'm playing. But no, yeah, I try to find like really weird stuff, and I'm not one of those people that's like a snob about where I get my samples from. Like if it's an MP3, it's an MP3, you know what I'm saying? I don't need it on the record or what have you. But yeah, I like to try to find things that like nobody's really gonna recognize what it's from. So I'll take, you know, if I'm taking even like something from a TV commercial from the 80s or something, like I've tried to take a little bit of it that's like not super obvious, but yeah, I do that in batches. I would say I knock out like 10 on a weekend, on a good weekend. And yeah, like everything that's on Bodega Rat, production wise I did in a weekend, and it was kind of that was actually exactly the process. Like I either listen to my own records, right, try to find something that I think to me as somebody who enjoys repetition and enjoys loops, is this listenable for a minute and a half? Like yes, okay, boom, throw drums on it, keep it simple. And to me it's like, can I hear myself on this? Can I hear some of my favorite rappers on this type of shit? And that's kind of how I do my little test or whatever. But I just like doing them in batches because it's just like instant satisfaction for me. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like, cool, I did a batch this weekend, like I'm good for a minute. But more often than not, I'll keep listening to that batch and then I'll write something to them and then end up with something like Bodega Rat or the last thing I rapped on, which was Your Kids Deserve Better. They were both kind of born the same way.
What brings your mind to like Turkish commercials? Like, is that top of mind, or is just like whatever, just Googling random things until something interesting comes up?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just got a wild imagination, and I think like if I already hear kind of a sound in my head of what I would like a beat to sound like, and I'm like, okay, that sounds like, you know, Turkish space opera type shit, and I would just in my mind, because that's the mood I'm in, that's the vibe I'm going for, I'm like, yeah, I want to make some shit that sounds like that. So I already got the idea in my mind of what I'm going for. So all I need to do is like hear those couple seconds of something and grab it. So I will literally just throw descriptors out, yeah, into the great AI in the sky and see what the results are. So it's random a lot of the time. But yeah, I
Don't
think
ever
kind of
change.
yeah, just having some kind of idea of what I'm going for just helps me find like oddly specific weird shit.
So let's talk about like Citronella Room as a whole for 2024. I know you guys put out a lot of cassettes, but very few vinyl. I just bought Loops 3. So are cassettes more cost effective for you, or you just love the medium of cassettes?
I would say both, but also that doesn't rule out, like, we want to do more 7-inch vinyl releases and kind of like, yeah, we're talking about doing a series, possibly kind of like a follow-up to the Some Oranges, and kind of like still do vinyl releases definitely, but the tapes are just like, yeah, they're pretty quick turnaround to make. I think it's dope because we get add like bonus items on it, like the instrumentals on the B side, for example, things like that. That's not available on streaming. So if you really like the loops, and that's the thing with the tape too, because it kind of gives you like two different ways to enjoy it. Like you're listening to it twice, but enjoying it in different ways. Because I ran the tape back, side by side, and it's like hearing all the dope shit I just heard now. You know, just hearing the instrumental version of it kind of gives it like a special
Oh yeah.
appeal to it, tracks that you can't find online basically, so. And then
Also,
also, yeah.
yo, they look dope. They're small, they're easy to customize, they're easy to collect. So even if somebody don't have a tape player and they're at the show, you know what I'm saying? They want to support you or whatever, they could cop a tape, it looks nice on a shelf, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I would say it gives you a second way to be artistic with the project, because then you give it like
Definitely.
a visual aspect, you know what I mean? Like with the colors of the tapes, the artwork layout is different from what you would get on a vinyl. There's like
Yeah, we
more
do all that
stuff that you could
ourselves too.
do.
So like
So
we
you
take
got
pride in it.
liner notes on the inside, you know what I mean? So it's kind of bringing it back to like, I mean, at least the way I grew up as a kid, listening to buying CDs and tapes and shit like that, and always reading the booklet on the inside and like throwing little Easter eggs in there. It's like a cool way to do that separately from vinyl, you know what I mean? Like you couldn't like do the same exact thing on a record, so it gives you a little more room to like a bigger canvas to kind of play with, if that makes sense, you know?
You know what would be kind of crazy as a cassette? I don't know if you guys have put it out yet, but I know a Bus Wolf did the 623-22. What was it?
Oh,
623-22. That mix was cr that would be perfect for a cassette, like what, 15
oh
minutes
man.
on each side, you know?
That
It's
would be
amazing.
cool. Yeah, I mean, I would love to put that out on a 7-inch. I think it would fit. But yeah, no, thank you. That had so much fun that day. Like, I'm surprised that that mix ended up as good as it did because I was on another planet, bro.
I think you always are when I'm listening to your music, because it's like,
Fair,
listening to the
man.
Stones Throw stuff, like Donuts, J Dilla, that's not Earth. Same with all the
Yeah,
Quasimodo
no.
albums, that's not Earth
Mad
at all.
Villain. Mad
Yeah. Yeah,
Villainy.
Mad Villain, that's not even
Captain
this.
Murphy. They were on shrooms, I think, doing that one. You were talking about that. Yeah,
Aliens are here already,
almost
you
like a
know?
contact high.
Exactly. So tell me about some other artists, producers, DJs in the Tallahassee area that you're interested in getting involved with Citronella Room.
There aren't any right now.
Yeah, I don't know, not many. And it's nothing to do with like they're not being, it's not that there's not talented MCs here, because there's hella talented MCs here and producers for that matter. Yeah, there are.
But we right now, like, we got other folks that's coming in on this without saying too much, but like, we're super picky because like this is basically, as much as it is a label, like this is, it's like a family at the same time, you know what I'm saying? So like we just always real careful about who we work with. Like we work with Proof for years and years, and like,
Yeah, we were on
you know
a
what I'm
Hot
saying?
Fuzzy Nichols with him.
Like we're really picky about who we work with because we don't ever want it to feel like work, first of all. So, you know what I mean? So with us, it's like really natural, and it's kind of a rare thing. Like I've tried collaborating with a lot of people, and it's the only thing that I've stuck was this. So like we're really careful about who we work with. There's a lot of people here we support big time. We see them at shows, and like, you know, we try to make it to each other's shows and all of that. But like as far as like them being on Citronella Room, like it's probably not something we're looking at just yet.
Yeah, and like another thing too is like everybody that's on the label right now, especially him and Proof, are very like prolific. Like they're like, you know, they have just like yeah, man, there's like fucking pumping shit out all the
We
time
have
just for
catalogs.
yeah, so it's like they're like just yeah, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But we have been working and collaborating for years. I think the first song all three of us did together was Crowns, like in like 2015 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's just like a very like just a real close knit, like friendly, just friends, homies, like fam, like playing shows out of town together and shit, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of history with it, so we
Yeah.
kind of
And
just
it's never
like,
been no drama or nothing. It's been so easy, and so we trying to keep it easy breezy, so like not
right,
introduce any chaos into what we have.
or introduce
smoking the right
people.
type of weed, you know.
Exactly. Or
That's
introduce
chaos.
people who have like a different set of expectations than we do. You know what I mean? Because like I think we all, the three of us or four of us, you know, with Late Show, we all kind of share the same like mentality and the same approach, and like we all feel the same way about music, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like I could talk to them
Hell yeah.
about whatever, and yeah, we're all just like really good friends too. So yeah, because I don't want to like get in a situation where it's like, yeah, it makes it feel like work and shit like that. It's like I really want to focus on just like my friends make dope music, and I just want to like get it out there on our own terms
Yeah.
and not have to worry about, yeah, extra bullshit basically. But
Agreed.
there are dope people, but yeah, we're chilling.
Yeah,
All
no,
right.
because like we play a lot of shows. Like we try not to play only hip hop shows here in town. Like that's a big thing of ours. Like we don't want to just perform for hip hop fans. We want to perform for people that might not listen to hip hop. So, but yeah, for everybody we play with here is hella respectful, really dope. Like there is a dope scene here.
Yeah, there's definitely people doing shit for sure.
What releases for the Citronella Room that are you most excited about this year? Because we got the Don't Tell Us So remixes, we have the Busta Wolf, Bodega Rat. What else is coming that you're super excited about?
So I will say the next thing is a EP. I guess it's, yeah, EP with me and Proof. That is like maybe 80% done right now. So that's going to be the next thing, and then after that probably some Late Show host stuff, and then you know whatever we come up with, and more shit from Proof.
Yeah, I got more beat tapes in the future, but I think I've done a lot of rapping lately, so I might backseat on that for a minute and just focus on some beat tapes for a little while.
Another split.
Yeah,
Yeah,
either works
another.
for me.
Yeah, definitely. Like another, maybe like another, like some oranges, like type shit.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
that's
Yeah,
something else in
absolutely.
my catalog.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So that, yeah, that, there's gonna be a follow-up to that for sure. But
You got that on vinyl?
Yeah.
That's sick. I
Yep.
designed that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great.
Try to make it look legit old school.
Yeah, I think we're
What
gonna get.
like generally speaking about Citronella Room, about the label and some releases too, what are some things that you're most proud of about?
I think I'm most proud of just like anytime we drop a physical release and just like holding the tape. Like, you know, this is the most recent thing, proud of pointing at the Bodega tape, Bodega Rat tape. But yeah, anytime, honestly, anytime a project comes out and like there's a physical form, like a tape or a record, I'm always just like very proud of that. And then like our spread of physical, you know, stuff, you know, because, you know, we have like a line of cassettes. We put out a pretty good amount of tape. So when you kind of line them up together, I'm just proud of just like visualizing, you know, the work that we've been putting in and like the design and like, you know, it just looks together really good together as a collection. And so I'm proud of the that for sure.
Yeah, agreed. I feel
Awesome.
like I'm probably because it's the most recent, but also because Phil kind of made me work on it more than I would have if I just released it like as I wanted to. It would have been two songs less and basically just the demos. And I had it ready to go, like, was it September of 2023? I was just gonna put it out. Sent it to him, and he's like, "Yo, this is sick. Like, let's really polish it up and put it out, you know, put it on tapes or whatever." I was like, "I don't know, man." He's like, "Nah, let's do it." So, you know what I'm saying? We took the time with it, slow cooked it, redid some stuff, added two songs, and I just feel it's more complete for that. And we collaborated on the packaging and design and everything. So, like, you know, that allowed me the opportunity to work closely on him with a project, which, you know, I'm really, again, I'm just hella picky about who I do that kind of stuff with because I still need to feel my sense of pride at the end of the day that this is something that I made without somebody else putting wanting to put their name all on the credits or what have you. But like in this case, it was like so collaborative. I was like, yo, credit yourself for like literally everything you did on that tape. So yeah, I'm hella proud of this one, I think, just because I had the you know, I reined in my horses and fucking let it be something a little bit more special than how I anticipated it to be. So
I think that that's important too, because packaging, they give out Grammys for that. You know, even in the digital world, they have Grammys for shit like that, which is really cool that you guys really think about stuff like that. But I want to thank you guys for coming on My Little Underground once again. Doors always open for you guys, so here's your time to plug away. You know, tell people where to buy them great tapes, those 7 inches, etc. Great t-shirts too, merch, whatever.
Oh, you got the shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got the
Okay,
shirt.
cool. All right, word, word. Yeah, no, that was no, yeah, just the citronellaroom.com. You can find pretty much all of our merch on there.
Join the mailing list.
Join the mailing list. We got discounts. And shit, man. Yeah, just keep an eye on that. Follow our socials, Instagram, Citronella Room, Twitter, TikTok that we barely use. YouTube. We have music videos. We did a music video for one of the songs on
Getting
this
the
one.
robot.
And another video is out on the way. So all the social media, Citronella Room everywhere. So
Yeah, and start joining that mailing list and shit because we don't know if we're gonna keep on with this streaming bullshit. We
yeah.
might be taking all our shit off. So that shit, man, we ain't about
Yeah,
that shit.
we got to figure
So
that out and then.
we might only be exclusively streaming shit on the website. So, but
Yeah, I'm
anyway,
glad
that's
you guys said that because I literally started last weekend, like putting all my Citronella Room stuff from Bandcamp on my computer, on my
boom.
phone, you know, just
Yeah.
in case. You know what I mean?
Just in case, right?
Yeah.
Because yeah.
We were talking about that. So there's a couple of things that might be moved around, taken off.
Yeah.
And then even Bandcamp too, like Bandcamp is dope, but definitely citronellaroom.com for any merch purchases or digital purchases, etc. So,
Exclusive shit.
yeah.
Like, yeah, to
True
really
indeed.
keep in touch. Yeah. Don't rely on the streaming shit. Check out the website, join the mailing list.
Awesome. Thank you guys again. I appreciate you.
Yo, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My Little Underground.